I often say slow it down to speed it up. I think we think everything that we want to achieve is going to come from going fast. And oftentimes going more slowly is going to get us to a place that we actually want to get to more readily than if we're racing to get there.
Welcome to Elite Achievement, the podcast for high-performing business owners and leaders. I'm Kristen Burke, your coach and host. Together, we'll unpack the stories, mindsets, and habits of top achievers and explore how to turn ambition into remarkable results. If you're ready to maximize your potential and elevate your success, let's make it happen. What would be possible if you prioritized your energy the way you prioritize your results? For many business owners and leaders, the drive to achieve can come at the cost of well-being. We're wired to focus on performance, growth, and results, but sustaining success requires just as much focus on how we protect and renew our energy. It's what fuels clarity, consistency, and effective leadership. Today's guest, Andrea Nakayama, is a functional medicine nutritionist and educator who has trained thousands of practitioners around the world. She's also the host of the 15-Minute Matrix podcast and the founder and former CEO of the Functional Nutrition Alliance. After navigating deep personal loss while building a thriving business, Andrea learned how honoring health and presence fuels better decisions, stronger leadership, and long-term success. In this conversation, we explore how to make self-care a non-negotiable, the practices that help leaders stay focused and effective, and why slowing down strategically can help you sustain your energy and your success. Welcome, Andrea. I'd love to start with the question I like to ask guests. What does achieving elite success mean to you personally and professionally?
Ooh, I love this question, Kristen. And I think that when I think of elite success, it's really where my values show up on my calendar. So being able to see where my energy, my relationships, and my impact are a part of my everyday.
That's interesting. Energy, relationships, and impact. Why did you choose those three?
Yeah, I think my energy, when I feel in my flow and I'm doing the work that is really meaningful to me, that energy also flows. So when I am in the realm of doing that meaningful work, I can feel the energy giving out and coming back instead of that draining that I might feel if I'm just doing work that's not meaningful to me. And of course, we all need to do some of that work, right? So energy is key for me in that. At least in every day, there's something that's giving me back because I love doing it. It's my flow state. Relationships, because I think that's where the magic really happens, whether it's with a client or being in the classroom with my students in the work that I do, or a conversation with my son who lives in Tokyo via, you know, phone or Instagram DM, how we communicate. That just, again, gives me back some of that energy that I'm putting out, and I feel refueled. And so much of our work can be draining. And then impact is that meaningful work for me. It's where the results are real, repeatable, where I'm not compromising my values, I'm living into my integrity. So I guess at its core, it all does come back to those values and filling the tank instead of just expending energy.
Well, and filling the tank is very relevant this time of year. If our listeners are listening in real time, it's the end of the year. And so we've got a convergence of finishing the year strong, planning for the new year. We've got the holidays coming up right around the corner, and it can feel like a lot is going on. And a lot of times people talk about this time of the year being overwhelming. And one of the things I've noticed is that self-care can be one of the first things to go during a busy season. How do you think we can shift our mindset so that self-care isn't optional, but truly a non-negotiable part of success?
Oh, another juicy question, Kristen. And I think I'm just going to back up and talk about the work I do, because this really is at the core of the work. We have to take care of ourselves. So I'm a functional medicine nutritionist. I've built a large business where I train providers from around the world. Plus, I'm doing my own work. I got into this work after losing my husband to a brain tumor. And he was diagnosed with a brain tumor back in April of 2020, when I was just 7 weeks pregnant, and he died when our son was 19 months old. So I know the reality of the juggle, right? I was a single mother. I put myself back through school while working full time, built a business that became very successful, sold that business, but stayed on as the founder and leader of the business, and had to do all of those things at once. And I have to tell you, with that truncated version of my life story, that if I didn't practice my self-care, I couldn't have done those things. So in functional nutrition, we're not looking at food right or wrong, good or bad. It's not about a dietary theory, meaning it's not about eating vegan or paleo or keto or intermittent fasting. It's about supporting your very own body, no matter what you are going through. So for nutrition to be functional, it's where food meets your biology or your physiology, and you are able to function, but not just food, all aspects of lifestyle and of how you are living your life. So if I don't unplug at a certain time at night, if I don't get my hours of sleep that I need to function, I could not have been there for my son during his growing up years. I could not have built a business and a team and been there for clients and students. So I have to be number one, and taking care of me isn't a luxury. It is, I am the prime commodity in my business. And if I'm not serving that prime commodity, everything else is going to be impacted. And I think that's the mindset shift we have, that there is a floor to how and where we take care of ourselves, not a ceiling. There is a baseline of, this is how I do self-care, do me care, so that I can show up in all these different places. Does that make sense?
I love how you mentioned the mindset shift, because I've never thought about a floor of self-care. So how do we figure out our floor? How do we determine what that floor is?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I like to train clients to do is to understand their non-negotiables. So what are your non-negotiables? Now, I have my non-negotiables for every client. Those non-negotiables are sleep, poop, and blood sugar balance. So if you don't have those, you're not going to be able to function at your best. And, you know, I know those are conversations for likely a different time, but we each have our own non-negotiables as well. And being able to identify those really helps us to understand that floor. So for me, sleep is a non-negotiable, not just one of the ones that I subscribe to as a clinician, but one that I know my body needs sleep, or I cannot function. I can't do my best. So, you know, just understanding what are those pieces. I always like to say, if we're thinking about deficiency in our lives and how we refuel, those things become our non-negotiables. So like for me, going to my dance class, where I am just like being told what to do for 1 hour a day, 4 days a week, I am being told what to do, and I'm just moving my body. I don't have to make a decision. I don't have to be the one in charge. Thank goodness, because I have to be boss lady all day long, all the time, but I love my dance class. I get to release. I get to dance. I get to hear music. I get to be around different people who are moving their bodies as well. So understanding for ourselves, what are my non-negotiables? It may maybe sitting on the couch with your honey, watching the TV once a night, and you're not giving that up for all those holiday things. You are making sure this is my floor. We get that one night. We have family dinner. That's my floor. This is whatever is happening. So just taking a step back and saying, what are my non-negotiables for feeling good that I am going to adhere to no matter what? If it's getting really busy and there's five holiday parties coming up, I get to say no to three of them if they're interrupting my floor, because it is my floor, and I'm not going to cantilever out like the diving board on the pool that doesn't have its foundation in place to support me.
So it sounds like it's not as complicated as we might make it out to be. Pay attention to the activities, and are they giving you energy? And if they're giving you energy, keep doing them during a busy season.
Exactly. And know what they are. Just taking that step back to know what gives me energy, what helps me to feel grounded, what are the practices or behaviors I need to engage in to keep me solid through this extra busy time. This is also true of extra stressful times. And as you said, the end of the year can be both. But when the stress is heightened, that's when we need to lock down on those non-negotiables even more, not give them up.
And I know we're tempted to give them up. So if we're a business owner or we're a leader and we're looking at our calendar, what advice do you have for us so we can schedule intentionally and make sure our non-negotiables have time on that calendar?
Yeah, I think you just said it, Kristen. Like, I am a believer in the calendar. So I have things locked in on my calendar. Even every afternoon, there's a 15-minute self-check on my calendar, as in the color that works on my Google calendar, for me to just say like, oh, this is a moment for me to ground. This is a moment for me to check in with myself. So I adhere to my calendar. I show up where I'm supposed to show up, but some of what I'm going to do is build in that showing up for myself, whether it's my dance class or my morning routine, it's on my calendar. And I also just want to say that if I need a little wiggle room, I also give myself that little bit of wiggle room. So if my morning routine says to wake up and meditate, but like it's Wednesday, I did it Monday and Tuesday, and I just need a morning to get back in bed with tea and kind of, you know, read or get a grip on the day, I can give myself that wiggle room without beating myself up. So it's on my calendar, but I also know I get a little bit of wiggle room because it doesn't have to be every single day.
Well, now you're speaking to something that a lot of high achievers struggle with, the what I call all or nothing mindset. Yes. And so many times people will feel bad if they choose not to do the morning routine on that third or that fourth day. How did you get over that and get to a place where you can allow yourself grace?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that I've often been told is I must be a perfectionist because I'm a high achiever. I will say I'm not a perfectionist because I allow myself to trip and fall and I allow myself to falter, but I'm not afraid to put myself out there. So I think confronting our inner perfectionist and recognizing where there has to be a little wiggle room. And I'm going to give you an analogy I use when it comes to food. So a lot of people are going to be very strict, and I'm going to call it a diet, even though I don't like that word, but they're either adhering to everything or they're not. It's either one or the other. And I like to say when we give ourselves a little wiggle room that we actually have more allowance. And I'm not saying to eat something that's going to make you have symptoms. Like, those for me are off the table. But besides that, I call it the road, the path or the bike lane, because I live in Portland, Oregon, and the poison ivy, right? So the road is, here's where I'm looking to go. Here's where I am looking to drive. The poison ivy is where I just don't go. I do not want to walk in the poison ivy. Why would I walk in the poison ivy? But I have a little bit of a bike lane that doesn't make me feel like I'm always on the straight and narrow. Because if I have to be on the straight and narrow all the time and do it by the book, I am going to fall off of that tightrope. I am going to fall off of that road and veer into other area, particularly or maybe the poison ivy. So just giving ourselves a little wiggle room is really, really important. And just giving yourself that allowance to say it's not all or nothing, it's all, with a little wiggle room. I got some bandwidth here to be human.
And I think that that's the most important part is remembering at the end of the day, we are humans and we're going through life and there should be enjoyment and pleasure from time to time at life. And then there are times where we can be disciplined and focused on our goals and what we want to achieve.
Yeah, we can focus on our goals and what we want to achieve and be human. And I think like that is part of the reality of living. And I often say slow it down to speed it up. I think we think everything that we want to achieve is going to come from going fast. And oftentimes going more slowly is going to get us to a place that we actually want to get to more readily than if we're racing to get there.
So how do you stop the race?
I think stopping the race is recognizing what is the objective here? What am I trying to achieve? Stepping back and not being in the race, it is not a race unless it is. Like if there's a particular race, then I know like, okay, this is a race. I'm going to sacrifice for this race and I'm training for that race and here's the race. But am I making everything a race because of the way I've been working? And this is where your work is so important, Kristen, because you're helping us build towards where we want to go in a sustainable step-by-step way, as opposed to everything being crunched at the end and having to be a race. And so I would say, like, is it a race and why is it a race? And is there a different way to look at it? And what if it's not all the things we wanted for this quarter or this year, but it's some of the things and we continue to build on that? I think one of the stories I always love to share is that my boyfriend, in addition to being in the financial field, is a climber. He's a mountain climber. So I have watched every Mount Everest movie, documentary, YouTube, like everything there is to watch. And at first when I went into watching Everest climbs, I was like, why am I watching? I don't care about watching Everest climbs. But I realized that the concept of base camps is really, really brilliant. And so nobody climbs Mount Everest in a day or a week or a year. They're likely training and training and training to even make it to the first base camp is a huge feat and not everybody can do it. And then people are going to the next, they're acclimating, going to the next base camp, often coming back down to acclimate more, going up again. And they keep going like that. And the story is going back to human, a real human feat. It's showing how the body has to adapt to achieve this huge summit. And for some reason in business and in life, we've made the summit this thing that we think we're supposed to do in one fell swoop, as opposed to acclimating at each stage and sometimes going backwards in order to learn and go forward. And that analogy really started to speak to me, so that I love watching Everest climbs because it's such a brilliant analogy of the human achievement.
It does make a lot of sense. As you were talking about the summit and base camp, I thought the same thing. Why do we in business think we can go from X and then jump all the way to the summit without having the experience where we get to acclimate, because your systems might get tested. You might need different people. The services you offer might start to shift and change. And I think that that's a really helpful way for us all to look at that as we go into goal setting and planning for 2026.
Yes, absolutely. And another analogy, and I'm a systems thinker, so you're hearing me pull out analogies and stories that help me in business as well as in health. These same analogies apply. But one thing I learned from a business leader, a business coach that I had years ago, is that the road from A to B is never a straight line. And when we recognize that the road from A to B is never a straight line, we can also recognize that it's going to go up sometimes, it's going to go down sometimes, it's going to go up sometimes, it's going to go down sometimes. That is the reality of getting from A to B. But another reality that I want us to really recognize is that our level of excellence gets narrower and narrower and heightened as we move from A to B, even though it's going up and down in performance. So every down, we are still learning so that we are growing. Meaning, if you look at the allowance of an elementary school basketball player, they have a lot of room to make mistakes. As they get to high school basketball, their excellence and their understanding is expected to be tighter. If they go to college basketball or then on to the NBA, that allowance is tighter and tighter and narrower and more dialed in, even though they've been making mistakes all along the way and learning. So I think we have to remember that we are going to mess up. We are going to do things that were like, oops, that was a bit of a fail, but I learned from it, and here's what I can do next time.
Having that mindset of being able to embrace your learnings and challenges is so critical in order, I'm sure, to not only achieve your goals, but also to have the peaceful feeling that a lot of your work does.
Yes.
Andrea, earlier we talked about the importance of sleep and how that's one of your big non-negotiables. Now, I know I've been guilty of this from time to time. It's a busy season. It's late at night, right? You got the dinner is done, the kids' homework is done, the kids are in bed. You get that second wind and that energy to stay up late and finish a project or go back to work. What's really happening with us when this occurs, and how can we work with our natural rhythms instead of against them?
Love this question, and wanna particularly, this impacts all of us, but women especially, who are concerned about hormones and changes in our hormones. This is really, really key for the support of our hormones right now, wherever we are in our life stage, but also as we age. So we have cortical hormones, our hormones that come from our adrenal glands, that are coming down during the day. So our adrenal hormones are usually starting the day at the top of a ski slope. So we're starting high energy. That's what wakes us up in the morning, if we wake up with energy. So we have those adrenal hormones that come, and they, the cortisol that comes out and wakes us up in the morning. Then during the day, it should be coming down like a ski slope. And there's a point in the evening where it's at its lowest. And that is often where we fall asleep most easily and stay asleep most easily. In order for us to wake up in the morning, guess what that cortisol is doing? It's going back up the hill. Yeah. So if we are going back up the hill so we can wake up in the morning, and we are staying up while the cortisol is continuing to climb back up to the top of the hill, we are going to have a harder time falling asleep and a harder time staying asleep, and our sleep will be less restful. So when we catch that second wind, the second wind is, oh my gosh, I've been kind of feeling the dip at the end of the day, but now I have energy. It's 11 o'clock. The kids are in bed. Oh my gosh, I got a second wind. It feels so good. I'm going to get so much done. Yes, we are producing more cortisol, but that is a more difficult time to then get the rest we need for the day to happen the next day where we wake up and feel rested. But if we continue on that, it will do longer term damage because we will be disrupting that natural cycle that should be happening for us day in and day out. When we train it to stay up, to feed and fuel us, we're missing the opportunity. So I kind of think of it as catching the curve. Catch that curve where you feel that lower energy. That's your time to go to sleep. Even if you wake up earlier the next day, an hour before the kids get up, to give yourself time, that's a better habit. Even if you're used to thinking of yourself as a nighttime person, than staying up late at night. You're reprogramming your body's natural circadian rhythm when you stay up late at night, and it's having a longer term impact. So I really, having worked with women who have lots of hormone issues throughout different stages of life, really, really feel like it's an important message to say, go to sleep when your body is tired, or even if you feel tired at 5, at least between 9 and 10. I know that's hard to hear, but if you're catching that place, I guarantee you, clock it and see, did I sleep better? Did I fall asleep more easily? Did I wake up less? Did I have a more restful sleep? And over time, if not the first night, it's like, whoa, that's a complete different experience.
I've noticed too, Andrea, that there are some nights where I'll get back on my laptop and, you know, trying to catch up on work and projects. And even if I'm trying to go to bed at my ideal time, my sleep is very disrupted. I'm waking up in the middle of the night and I'm not able to go back to sleep. And I think there's got to be some connection to getting back on the laptop and getting my brain going instead of calming down at the end of
the night. Yes, we want to be in rest and digest. Oftentimes, people will also then be hungry and eat at that time. That's also throwing off our hormones and our circadian rhythm. So really being able to have that rest and digest instead of the fight or flight. When we're on our computer, we are in what's called a sympathetic dominant fight or flight state. I got to get to that. I got to do that. That's happening. So I try to really unplug in the evening and do something that is, you know, different than work, whether I'm going to dance class and then showering and then engaging with a podcast or even a show that's like light and giving me pleasure, whether that is like The Voice or something where people are living their passion, as opposed to something that's stressing me out and bringing my nervous system up into an excitatory place.
Well, and speaking of getting into that fight or flight mode, I think that this happens a lot when pressure is high. So this time of the year, what are small daily practices that will help us create moments of recovery or recalibration?
Yeah, and I think this is really unique to all of us. And this is true of functional nutrition. It's really about what we call bioindividuality. Your needs are different than my needs with your food, with your breakfast, with whether you can metabolize caffeine or not. All those things are different. And some people are very social and they're going to want to talk at night and talk or download with a girlfriend or with a partner. Some people want quiet time. Some people need a walk and really getting the body moving. Some people need meditation and just really getting into what's right for you. But I, again, really invite people to figure out what helps me to feel in my state of calm and relaxation, and how can I get more of that and plug it in more. I know, Kristen, Monday morning, I amp up my routine in the morning because I know I have to prepare for the week ahead. So I have little practices. Nothing's big, nothing's more than 10 minutes, but I stack a few little 10-minute things that I don't necessarily do the rest of the week. I meditate, I go on a vibration plate, I pull tarot cards. Like, these are just like ground myself in what do I need to set myself up, whatever I'm drawing from to set myself myself up for the week ahead and just sit in reflection before I get on my phone, open my computer, open my Slack or my email or any of the things that are going to be begging for my attention. I make sure I am setting that morning up for myself. And then again, I'm doing less of those things, but some of them as the other mornings progress. And if one morning I just want my matcha in bed, that's what I'm going to do. And I have that allowance. But Monday morning, I'm committed to, okay, I'm going back into all the things. I'm going to support myself to manage all the things and do that bolstering a little bit.
That's interesting. Did you find that it can be difficult to switch from rest and relaxation mode back into work mode? And is that why you elongated your Monday routine?
I think it's that resting coming from the weekend and really trying to unplug, which took me years, like building my business for years and years and years. There was no separation between home and work. I built a business that I ran from my home, a large business that I ended up running from home. It's all virtual. And so there used to not be a lot of separation. And as I aged and felt the distinction, I noticed where things were pulling at me and where I wanted to be there for them. So I will say that as my son got to high school and didn't want to spend or didn't need to spend as much time with me, that my rule of thumb was that if he said, "Do you want to go get tea?" or "Do you want to go to the store?" that if I could, I was just, yes, close the computer, go, right? Like I made that commitment to myself. And I think I started to make that commitment to myself. So when the weekend comes, if I'm doing any work, it's work that goes back to our original conversation and your original brilliant question and those values. If I'm doing something, it's my writing. It's something that really feeds and fuels me. Otherwise, my weekend is not for work. It's for being in nature. It's for taking care of my body. It's for being with my partner and really spending time unplugging unless I'm plugged into something that's giving back to me. No draining activities. So Monday morning, yes, I'm saying like, okay, I'm going back into the fray. I got to give it my all. It's not always something that's going to give me back energy. Sometimes it's things that are going to drain my energy. So I am going to make sure the tank is fully topped off. I filled it over the weekend, but I'm going to top it off with a little bit more self-care, whatever that means to you. Some of the things I said might be like, what are you talking about? But I found my way to them over years of just practicing and trial and error.
I think that's helpful too, that you're giving us permission to find the routines and the practices that work for us, not necessarily something we see online or we read in a book. It's not a one size fits all routine.
Yeah, no good or bad. You. All you is all good. What would yours be, Kristen? How would your morning look if you were topping off the tank?
I think this morning that we're recording was fantastic. So after my daughter went to school, I sat on the couch with a cup of my decaf coffee and I finished a book that I've been trying to read. So that felt, the achiever in me loved the satisfaction of closing the book. And then I went for a walk and I went to yoga and then I came home and I started my day. And
beautiful.
So that was such a big shift for me because for years I worked in financial services and we started very early on Mondays. And so as I would almost feel guilty for the first couple of years of my business that I would take some time and have a slower start to the Mondays. And now not every day of the week gets to start that way, or not every Monday, because there have been times where I've been traveling. And so I've been needing to take meetings on a Monday. And so I think that's the key for me is, again, not going back to the perfection, but are we getting this ideal start or ideal state the majority of the time? And that feels like a win.
Yes. And I can totally relate in that I have team that's across the country. So the day can start very early. So I'm accustomed to, you know, by seven needing to be on and going, but that means I'm building in the time before seven if I need to. And that's where I'll take it and know that I'm getting to bed earlier the night before.
Which that's always the challenge, right? Yes. Is knowing to do the things, or let's say that again. That's always the challenge. It's doing the things that we know are really good for us.
Yes. Yes.
What do you think is one mindset or behavior shift that we can make that's going to help us finish our year with clarity and have a lot of energy to start the new year strong?
Yeah, I think that when we talked about the ability to make mistakes, I'm going to share what I call my 5P model that I share with my students. And it's passion, permission, purpose, persistence, and perseverance. Those are the 5 P's. Notice perfection isn't in there. We all have a passion for what we're doing. It's why we're doing the work. We have to give ourselves permission to do self-care, to succeed, to have the life that we want. I think the purpose is really the heart of that model. It allows us to do the things that we don't want to do in a way that is still meaning for us, because they're fueling the purpose. But it's that persistence that and perseverance that I think are really important to answer your question. And it's continuing to show up, but allowing ourselves to fall down and get back up. Fall down and get back up. And that's the persistence and perseverance. The persistence is just being regular. And again, I think, you know, Kristen, this goes back to what I imagine you're talking about. When we're more consistent and persistent with what we're doing, it doesn't become a race. It becomes like what we're doing all the time. But that perseverance is a recognition that we are going to falter. So the one thing I just want to share with other people who are managing a lot and managing business objectives and pursuits is that it is okay to falter and learn from that lack of balance. Everything is about falling down, getting back up, falling down, getting back up. That's how we all learn to walk. If we are lucky enough to be able to, that is how we can continue to pursue everything that we are looking to do.
Yeah. If I could sum up what I think has been a theme in a lot of our discussion here today, it's ditching the perfectionism.
Yes. That's
so many of us high achievers carry with us, but giving ourselves the grace that our morning routine right now might look different from day to day. Giving ourselves the opportunity to learn from our mistakes, giving ourselves the opportunity to pause and ask what is going to give me energy? What is it that I need to be my best self right now? Not necessarily what you're seeing other people doing or what you're hearing other people do, but really ditching that perfectionism.
And being a perfectionist is not equivalent to being a high achiever. We can be high achievers and not be perfectionists. And in fact, I think we are actually able to achieve more when we are ditching the perfectionism, because it allows us to make mistakes and spend less time beating ourselves up for them.
Andrea, what habits or routines have been the most critical in your journey to elite achievement?
I think, you know, I'm going to go back to sleep is so important, but I think there's a lot we overlook, and I'm going to say joy is really, really important in life, and fulfillment in how we are living our lives allows us to do more. So, sleep as a habit, but joy as a way of being, and a pursuit that if we're not feeling joy in all we're doing, it's going to be real. It's just drudgery.
Really important emotion for us to reflect on as we go through the end of the year and we think about what is ahead for us in the new year.
Yes.
Andrea. If our listeners want to learn more about you or the work that you do in functional medicine, where can they go to learn more?
Yeah, thank you for asking. You can always find me at Andrea Nakayama on all the platforms, LinkedIn, on Instagram, and AndreaNakayama.com on the web. And that'll lead you back to all the different places.
Well, I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kristen. So lovely to be with you.
Until next time, Elite Achievers, celebrate your wins, reflect on your lessons, and consistently show up with the mindset and habits that will elevate your success. Remember, progress is made one step at a time. By listening to today's episode, you've taken an important step toward achieving remarkable results. If you're ready to continue your journey, visit my website, kristenburke.com, for resources, tools, and strategies designed to help you experience elite achievement. Subscribe now so you never miss an episode, and let's keep embracing the mindset, effort, and values that drive consistent elite performance. Thank you for listening.